Brother Don read for us this morning from John chapter 11, and we want to look particularly at verse 35 this morning. Again, as it was mentioned in the announcements, it's good to see everyone out this morning. We do have several that are visiting with us, and we want to welcome you at every opportunity you have to come worship with us. On a personal note, it is good to see Sister Shirley out with us as well. She's been dealing with many health issues, and we're thankful that she's able to make it out this morning. And do continue to pray for her and her family at this time. And in John chapter 11, Brother Don read for us verse 33 down to verse 37. And we want to look at verse 35 this morning in particular, where two simple words that are mentioned here is that Jesus wept. In John chapter 11, verse 35, we see the compassion of our Savior. We see a compassionate Lord that is mentioned here. One who is caring, one who is looking after the well-being of one who shows his care here of hearing the news of Lazarus passing away. Someone that was his friend, someone that was his brother, someone that he indeed cared for. And we hear of his passing and we see how he responds to it. This is a family that he was close to. We were studying in chapter 12 a little bit this morning with some of the events that had continued on there in the area with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But looking at chapter 11, we see the sad news of Lazarus dying. And in two words, it's summed up that Jesus wept. The Son of God wept for the passing of dear Lazarus. And again, we see he does truly care. He wants us to come to him. One who is ready to show that compassion for our soul as we think about that this morning. And what we want to do this morning in looking at this is to kind of look at some of the narrative this morning, looking at the story that's mentioned here in chapter 11, and then going from there and kind of applying some of that to our lesson and how we apply it to ourselves in the course of this morning. So as we open our Bibles, we look at the narrative first of all, and we go back in chapter 11 to the very beginning and looking at verse 1 and seeing that Lazarus was sick. In verse 1 of chapter 11 in John, it says, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. In verse 2, it says that it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother, Lazarus, was sick. And therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Mary and Martha both go, and they report this news to Jesus. Again, we see the relationship that both of them have toward Jesus. We see the relationship between all four of these individuals. And Jesus goes on saying, this is not a sickness. That leads to that. Read verse 4. Jesus heard that. He said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. You know, Jesus trying, this is what's going to happen here. It's not going to die. But it's through these events that God may be glorified, to truly see that this is the Son of God. And as we pick up with verse 7, 2 days after this, they begin to go to Judea. In verse 7 of John chapter 11, after this, after Jesus had spoken, after these things had happened, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, They thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. You know, Jesus points out that he wants to go to Judea. His disciples try to tell him otherwise. It's not wise to go there. It's not wise because of what is going on. These people, they already tried to kill you. And you want to go back. Why would you want to go back to a place where your life has already been put into jeopardy? But Jesus said, I want to go see my friend. I want to go see Lazarus. You know, the disciples in this case, well, you know, when we think about this word death, you know, sometimes they think about sleeping. And here it was, they thought that Lazarus was sleeping. He'll get well. How many times, you know, we've been talking about a lot of people here getting sick with the flu in the last month and a half. How many times do you feel to be able to just lay down your bed and you wake up? How many times do you feel a little bit better? I'm not saying you just a miraculous all of a sudden feel better, you're completely over it. You feel a little bit better when you rest. Besides, you know, he needs to rest. If he's resting, he will get well. But Jesus says to them plainly, well, he is dead. He states that he is happy he was not there. Not the fact that Lazarus was dead. But again, it's more justification for those that witnesses to be able to believe that he truly is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we see his entrance that he comes into Bethany in John chapter 11, verse 17 down to verse 27. It says, when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Again, as we're reading here, you know, again, Lazarus was sick. Lazarus, and when Jesus comes to Bethany, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. You know, Martha confronts Jesus on the message. If you were here, my brother Lazarus would have not died. We see in a moment here that she trusted in Jesus, that he would have been able to save him from death. But Jesus goes on saying, your brother will rise again. You know, it's confirmed. Here's Martha speaking to Jesus. You are the resurrection. He will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. But she said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes me may not die. We can talk about what that means. But this not being able to, if you believe in him and you will be able to, and that's belief, it's just not as simple. It's obedience. It's doing what he has said. That we might be able to live. We will not die. We will not be separated from God. Whoever lives and believes in me, in verse 26, shall never die. Martha, after hearing these words, I believe. I believe in what you're saying, Lord. And then we see the compassion that he demonstrated there with Lazarus. In verse 28, When she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews who were with her in the house comforted her. When they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, they followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. The Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying?" You know, again, we see where Mary, after Martha had spoken to Jesus, here's Mary coming in and says the same thing as Martha. "Lord, if you were here, my brother would have been still alive at this point." You know, he sees Martha, he sees Mary, they're weeping. There's this great sadness over their brother being dead. Others that were with them, they were coming, they began weeping. Jesus groaned, "Where is he at?" And once he hears this, once the Lord come and see where he is, we see his compassion that he has even more for Lazarus. He begins to weep. He showed his love and his compassion. And here it is again, many reasoning. "Lord, already, you know, if the one who was able to make the blind see, if he was here, he could have helped Lazarus from dying." Jesus was compassionate, as we look here. Compassionate and saddened over the fact of Lazarus. But we see the true power, the true compassion that he has in being able to heal, in helping Lazarus rise again in the physical life, to be able to walk again. As we read in verse 38 of this same text, it says, Jesus in verse 38 of John 11, he arose, he began groaning in himself and came to the tomb. There's a cave, and stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days." She said, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" He took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these sayings, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, "And loose him and let him go." You know, again, kind of looking at all the narrative of all this, Jesus says, "Remove the stone where Lazarus," and here's Martha's, "Lord, it's been 4 days." And we don't have the same abilities back then as we do now, being able to preserve a body in the way that we're able to preserve it. Martha shows in just this moment, after saying, you know, having this trust, this belief that Jesus' resurrection, this resurrection life, as we looked earlier, "Lord, there's going to be a stench 4 days in that tomb." She shows a sense of a little bit of worldly sense in that moment. And Jesus, as we look, is not worried about it in any way. "Believe in me. Remember what you said. You believe in me. You have followed me. And if you do indeed believe me, you're going to see the glory of God in a moment." You know, one of the things that he does, and it goes along with what we were talking about in this last series of lessons, that we talked about with prayer that we concluded last week. What does he do here? Before he does that, he goes and offers prayer. He thanks God for all these blessings. And we thank God that, you know, I've said these things as well so that the others around here might know and might be willing to believe that it is indeed you who have sent me that can make this possible. And when he speaks, Lazarus come forth. Lazarus arose from the dead. We see a caring and compassionate Savior who has saw how others were affected by Lazarus, and he himself was affected, but he was willing and able to help him. He shows compassion. He is a compassionate. And what do we want to talk? What about the compassionate Savior? What does that mean for you and I in looking at this, in looking at the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha here in this, in John 11? You know, Jesus showed his compassion for life. And again, many saw this. Those that were in the house that went with Jesus, they saw that Jesus had compassion for Lazarus. They realized that he loved Lazarus. That he was saddened to see him dead. But Jesus was able to still raise him up from the dead. We as individuals, we have a Savior who knows the temptations that we have faced in this life. If you go over to Hebrews chapter 4 with me. Hebrews chapter 4. And consider verse 15 with me. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, it says here, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." There's some of that compassion to be able to understand what we're going through. We have a Lord and Savior who faced temptation. We know as we look at this and read Scripture, and we can look at the temptations that he faced, especially with the encounter with the devil earlier in Matthew chapter 4, that Jesus faced those things, but he did not give in to those things. He did not sin. But we have a high, we have a Savior, a compassionate Savior, who knows what we're going through. And the hopes that our compassionate Savior has is that he wants us to be able to overcome those temptations in our life and turn to him. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you'll turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Paul writes here, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear." Christ is hoping that when we face the temptation, that we will overcome. There is a way of escape. I know, you know, we've probably said it several times in our lifetimes. The temptations that we face in this life, each one of them, even though it may seem like it is a daunting task, that it is impossible to be able to overcome it sometimes, we still can. We have a compassionate Savior who is looking at us, who knows how we face temptation, but has also provided a way of escape. Because the temptation thrown away is feet, we can overcome. And if you look down in verse 1 of chapter 11, same book, 1 Corinthians, just go down to the next chapter, in verse 1, says, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." We have a way of being able, and that is following the example of our compassionate Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus, again, is compassionate for our soul. He is looking out for our soul. Over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You know, we have a song in our songbook. It's called, you know, in one of the verses in the chorus says, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. Christ does indeed care for us. We do have to do our part to seek Him, to be able to receive His care. But He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to cast our care upon Him because He cares for our soul. Jesus cares enough to be able to die for us. Back over in John again, this time in chapter 3. In John chapter 3, and look at verse 16 with me. John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved us enough to send His Son in the world to be that sacrifice for our sins. He sent His Son in hopes that we will believe in Him, that we will obey His Father's will, and be able to have the hope of eternal life. Over in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus says here, not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father in heaven. Jesus died for you and me. And He has prepared this way. He has prepared this place for us that we can be able to call home, that we can be able to call ours, that we can be able to rest eternally with God. Jesus came and He has went and now prepared a mansion for you and I, a place, a dwelling place for you and I to have eternally. In John chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 2, and we also want to look at verse 6. John chapter 14, in verse 2 and verse 6. John 14, verse 2. We'll read that verse together first. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. In verse 6, after Thomas had posed the question, how are we going to know the way, Lord? How are we going to be able to get access? How are we going to get to this place, this mansion that You have prepared for us? Jesus said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Christ has shown us. He has went to prepare us a place, but hasn't left us high and dry. He has also shown us how we can be able to get to this place. How we can be able to get to this place where Him and His Father is eternally. Jesus shows His compassion in wanting us to be there with Him. I want you to think about this also with me this morning. Is that, you know, kind of taking a little side. Jesus is weeping. And He's weeping for sinners to repent. You know, He is sad. He has a strength for those that are lost. For those that are separated. In Luke 13, verse 5, Jesus said, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus is weeping for the sinners that need to repent in their life. There's a sad day for those who will not repent and turn to God. There will be great sadness on that day. There will be weeping and gnashing. There will be such sadness for those that have to hear those words of doom. Depart from me. Jesus is compassionate in hopes that that day will not come for you and I. Over in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 down to verse 11. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 down to verse 11. Romans 5, verse 6 down to verse 11. It says here, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Jesus has done all that He can to be assured that that day does not come for us. We have to do our part. We have to seek Him. We have to find Him. He has provided an opportunity for us to be able to be saved. He has provided Himself as a sacrifice for sins, for us to be able to have our sins washed away. We have the ability to be able to be reconciled, be joined together with Him. Jesus has shown His compassion and has called for all to repent, to change, to turn. He's extended the invitation where He has said to come to me. Over in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 down to verse 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 down to verse 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 down to verse 30. Jesus says here, Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Verse 30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus has extended an invitation. He says, "Come to me." All who are burdened, all who are... Jesus provides rest for the weary. Jesus wants us to come to Him. So what do I need to do? Jesus extended the invitation on what an individual needs to do to be saved. You need to hear the gospel message. You need to believe in it. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you be baptized for the remission of your sins. Jesus is asking for you to come and to do His Father. He is compassionate. He has left us an example that we can be able to follow. He is looking out for our soul. He has done all that He can to be able to provide us the hope and opportunity of eternal life. Now it's up to us to take hold of it and to do His Father's will and to follow in His footsteps. If you're here this morning and have not yet obeyed God's Word, and you need to have your sins washed in the waters of baptism, it's all laid out for you on what we need to do to be saved. And in the end, rest will be provided. That caring and compassionate Savior is willing and ready to provide rest for our souls. Do you want that rest from our compassionate Savior? If you're here this morning and you have not been faithful to God, and you're ready to turn back to God, you had your sins washed in the waters of baptism and you need to return to the fold of God this morning, we'll be glad to pray for you as you are ready and willing to repent of your sins. If you have turned back into sin, you need to have prayers of forgiveness on your behalf. If you're ready to repent of your sins, we'll be glad to offer those prayers this morning. Or maybe you just need prayers of encouragement. Maybe you just need some help being faithful to God. Knowing the struggles that we have in this world, we have a compassionate Savior who wants us to come to Him, to cast our cares upon Him,
If we could do that on your behalf also, we'd be glad to pray for you. Whatever the case may be, Brother George, just like the invitation, if you want to turn there, if there are any that are subject to the invitation, you need to make your life right with God, whatever the case may be. If we can help you, pray for you, whatever it might be, have a seat on the front. And we'd be glad to assist you and be glad to help you now. Walk together while we stand and while we sing.
Stranger.